Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
What's up, Liquid Church? Hey, great to see y'all. I'm Pastor Tim. Let's give a big old welcome to Church Online, all our live locations. Passaic, Princeton, Mountainside, Garwood, Somerset, Middlesex. Hey, love you guys. And before we dive in today, I want to give you a quick heads up about Holy Week. You know, Holy Week actually begins next Sunday, and it marks the 7 days in the Christian calendar in which we commemorate really the last week of Jesus's life before he went to die on the cross as our Lord and Savior. He entered Jerusalem to lay down his life as a sacrifice for sin out of love for you, for me. And so I want to let you know next Sunday is Palm Sunday, where Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. It's called Palm Sunday because everyone was waving palm branches to welcome him as a king. So next Sunday, we're going to be handing out palm branches at all of our live locations. And then Holy Week culminates on Good Friday, where we remember the crucifixion and death of Jesus on Calvary. Now this year, Good Friday, it's on March 29th, and we're going to celebrate that by hosting screenings of Mel Gibson's The Passion, the movie, at four campuses, okay? Parsippany, Princeton, Passaic, and Mountainside. It's going to be at 7 o'clock. I want to let you know this is a very simple event. There's no sermon, there's no singing, there's no childcare. We just like to commemorate that by doing three very simple things. We're going to read the scripture describing Jesus' passion or his suffering. Then we're going to watch the movie, and then we're going to take communion together. So if you want to join us for that, please come to one of those four campuses. And then on Easter weekend, we're going to have my favorite part of Holy Week, the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead, amen? And on Easter weekend, we're going to celebrate his victory over the grave on both Saturday and Sunday, March 30 and 31st. Now, Easter comes early this year, okay? So we are actually having, I can't believe this, 27 Easter weekend services spread across 7 locations plus Church Online. And for the first time ever, our Liquid Family Ministry, these guys are nuts, they are hosting a helicopter egg drop, dropping over 70,000 Easter eggs filled with candy. You're welcome, parents. We get to sugar your little ones up. And Morris Mercer, Mountainside, Passaic. And then we have egg hunts planned in Somerset, Middlesex, and Garwood. Now, that helicopter egg drop and the hunts, they're 100% free, but it is for kids 12 and under. So just RSVP for Easter weekend, hopping over to what's trending on the Liquid app. Just let us know you're coming, all right? You can see it's going to be a busy next couple weeks. Palm Sunday, Passion Movie, Easter eggs and helicopters. What could possibly go wrong? Now, before we celebrate Easter, I want to talk to you about the very first thing that Jesus did to launch his ministry on earth. And then watch this, the very last thing Jesus said before he returned to heaven. The first thing he did, last thing he said, does anybody know? I want to talk to you today about the way of baptism. We just watched a clip of Jesus being baptized by his cousin John in the Jordan River. And the Bible says that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he spent actually 40 days appearing in the flesh to his disciples, and he actually gave them a set of final instructions. Like you guys know, last words are important. Do you know what Jesus' last words were before he returned to his Father in heaven? His final command? Open your Bible. Matthew wrote them down in his biography. It says, Jesus came and he told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, here's what I want you to do. Say it together. Go and make disciples of all the nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, these are the final words of Jesus to followers of the way to eternal life, an abundant life. It's not the narrow, not the broad way. There's a narrow way. And these last words, I want you to think about everything Jesus could have said. He might have said, you know, I want you guys to go and make disciples of all nations and build churches. I want you to go make disciples and host worship concerts. I want you to go, you know, make disciples and feed the hungry or heal every sick person. But he didn't say that, did he? Instead, he said, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of my Father and me, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, today, I want to talk about baptism, what it is, and why it's central to being a fully committed follower of the way. And more importantly, why I'm convinced this is the next step many of you need to take in your journey to know Jesus personally. We're to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. Now, our spring baptism is actually coming up the week after Easter on Sunday, April 7th at all of our campuses. And this week, I just felt like God saying, you know, Tim, I want you to bring extreme clarity that this is the next step, not only for new Christians, but maybe for longtime believers who've never been baptized in water as an adult. Because I get that question all the time from people. People say, Tim, my parents had me baptized as a baby. Or I was sprinkled as an infant. Isn't that the same thing? And the answer is, no, it's not. First, that's a wonderful thing your parents did for you. It showed their love for you and their desire that you would follow God one day. But it's not the same thing that Jesus commands here in Matthew 28. In fact, it's not the same thing that Jesus did to demonstrate baptism to his followers. So again, if you open your Bible, I want to look at the original baptism of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to start here at verse 13, and we're going to look at the origin story. It says this, then Jesus went from Galilee to the what? To the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. He said, hey, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, so why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, no, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. Now, pause button. Has anybody here been to the Jordan River in person? Anybody to the Jordan River? Okay, a few of you. How about the Jersey Shore? Anybody? Okay, Jersey Shore. Now, the Jordan River is not clear, you know, Caribbean water. It's more like the Jersey Shore, where the water's more green and brown than blue. But let me show you some drone footage, okay? The Jordan River is about 70 miles long, and it flows from the Sea of Galilee in northern Israel all the way down south to the Dead Sea. And this river is shared by three countries, okay? Israel and the country of Jordan, it's actually a dividing line between those two countries. And Syria also use it for irrigation, so it's vital to the whole region. And this is the body of water that Jesus went to be baptized. The first thing to launch his very brief three-year public ministry. Verse 13 says, Jesus went from Galilee, that's in the north, to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. Now, who the heck is John, okay? This is not John the disciple, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. No. This is John the Baptist. If you didn't know, Jesus and John were cousins. They were actually born 6 months apart. Their mothers were Mary and Elizabeth. They were actually besties. So I want you to get a picture here. John and Jesus probably spent their childhood growing up together, okay? Playing hide and seek in the hills, skipping stones on the Sea of Galilee, memorizing the Torah, all the stuff young Jewish boys did. So Jesus and John are close cousins, but more than that, John believed in his heart that his cousin Jesus was the prophesied Messiah, this predicted Savior who was going to usher in God's kingdom on earth. And John, you can kind of catch it a little bit in the depictions of him. He's kind of this rugged, wild man. He ate locusts and wild honey. He lived out in the desert. And he said, it's my job to prepare the what? Prepare the way for Jesus. And so John begins baptizing people, telling them, you got to repent. You got to turn from your ways and get ready for the Messiah's arrival. Verse 5 says, people from Jerusalem and from all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Now, understand, that's where this tradition comes from. In fact, the word baptize here comes from a Greek word, and it's pronounced baptizo. Can you say that? Baptizo. And it literally means to immerse, dip or wash something clean in water. So, if you baptizoed something, it simply means you actually take, it was like a piece of fabric in Greek times, and you would actually dip it in water. You hold it under. Notice, it's got to get completely submerged, and then you pull it out. Now, what's cool is baptizo actually wasn't a religious word to start. Greek women used it when they washed or dyed clothes. Did you know that? They would put the fabric under the water and it would come out clean. Or if they wanted to dye it, they would baptizo the fabric and dye. And then when it came out, oh, it's a brand new color. Parents, have you ever done tie-dye t-shirts with your kids? Yeah? Right? You tie it up and all that and you put it in the water and you leave it overnight. And what it comes out, right, with this brand new design. That's the origin behind this term baptizo in Greek culture. It was a very ordinary domestic term. But then Jewish culture gave it its spiritual meaning. In fact, if you visit Israel, you can still visit these giant bathing tanks called mikvahs. It looks like a Flintstones hot tub, doesn't it? It's carved out of the ground. And Jews would use these. They'd fill the tank with water, and they would use it to baptizo or submerge themselves before they went to temple. Every religious Jew had to have a bath. So you would baptizo or submerge yourself. And it wasn't just a bath to get dirt off your body. It was a way that you said, you know what, God? I want to be spiritually clean before you. And so you would walk down the stairs. Do you see the stairs? When people walked down into the water, they went in unclean. But then notice they walk up on another set of stairs and they walk out spiritually clean before God. In fact, in Jesus' day, if you were Greek, you were not Jewish, you weren't religious. If you wanted to convert to Judaism, you had to be baptizoed because it was a symbol that your heart was changing. You go down in the water, you actually are like, I am now dead to the person I was before. And when you came up out of the water, you're like, I am born again. I'm a new person into God's family of faith. Last May, Colleen and I took two tour groups to Israel. And one of the highlights was putting on white robes together and jumping into the Jordan for a baptizo service. Now, you have to understand, Christians come from all over the world to the Jordan River to be baptized in its green waters. And we had dozens of Liquidites follow Jesus in the way of baptism. Check this out. Now, the good news is you don't have to go to Israel to get baptized, okay? On April 7th, we are going to be rolling hot tubs out on the stage at every one of our live locations. And I can promise you the water in our hot tubs is a lot more clean than the Jordan, okay? So I hope you get the idea that the method of baptism is actually quite ancient. It's not sprinkling. It is dunking, dipping, full immersion under the water. That's the method. And the reason that's the method is it communicates the message of baptism. See, baptism is actually an illustration of the gospel. It is meant to picture the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to how Romans 6 puts this. I put it in your notes in the app. It says, that's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we're lowered into the water, it's like the what, church? It's like the burial of Jesus. And when we're raised up out of the water, it's like the what? The resurrection. In other words, baptism literally demonstrates, it's like a mini sermon of what Jesus did for you. When you go down into the water, it's like, you know what? I'm dead. My old life of sinner Tim is being crucified and buried with Jesus. Consider this a liquid tomb. Your old life of sin dies with Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for you. His death had your name on it, Chris. Your name on it, Clint. His death was for you. And so you're identifying with his death and burial. But watch this. When you are raised up out of the water, you're saying, I identify with your resurrection. It's like Easter. Just as Jesus was raised to an indestructible life, a new life, you are washed clean of your sin. You're raised to an eternal life with Christ. You're a new creation. You are washed clean. You're forever now marked by the blood of Jesus. So baptism really powerfully depicts, hey, this is what's going to happen, by the way, when Christ returns. You're going to come alive. We're going to come out of our graves at the resurrection. And Jesus is like, I want to make the gospel clear and plain, and that's why I'm going to command it. I'm not going to suggest it. I'm going to command the way of baptism. Did you know anyone who gets baptized, and we've baptized over 3,000 people in our church's history, but when you get baptized, you are literally preaching the gospel. I mean, think about that. You are people, because people are seeing a living example of how Christ saved you through his death, burial, and resurrection. And when they see this, they're like, man, if God can save her, man, whoo, what about me? I need a savior. I got to be washed clean. I want what that pictures. And that's why every time we hold a baptism service, we find actually people get saved. They decide to spontaneously be baptized because they fall under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And they say, I need to repent. That's the message that John preached. Matthew writes, in those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching, and his message was this. Let's read it together, right? Here it is. Let's get a big loud voice. Repent of your sins and what? Turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John called people to repent. You know what repent means? It means I'm going in one direction. Wait, I just had a thought. No. I am going to do a 180, and I'm going this way now. I'm going to go in a new direction. I'm going to go in God's direction. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia. It literally means to turn around or change one's mind that leads to a change of behavior. You ever make a bad choice in life that you like instantly regret and you're like, I ain't going to do that again. Like, you're like, you know, I got to get up early tomorrow morning, but I'm a little nervous about something, so I'm just going to stay up late watching reels. And you know what? I'm getting a little hungry. Maybe I'm going to eat some Häagen-Dazs. And suddenly it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. And you're like, what am I doing? And then you wake up the next morning and your mouth is dry and your face is all puffy and you're like, I'm exhausted. And anybody? Just me? Okay. And you're like, I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. I think tonight I am going to go in a different direction. That's repentance. I have changed my mind. I'm actually turning away from the stuff that is killing me and going a new way. Repentance means you got a change of mind. That leads to a change of heart, and it leads to a change of your whole life. John preached repentance, and people responded. Look what Scripture says. It says people from Jerusalem, all over Judea, all over the Jordan Valley, they went out to see and hear him, and when they confessed their sins, he what? Baptizoed them in the Jordan River. That's what baptism means. You can be washed clean. No matter how many mistakes you made, you can have a second chance. How many of you know we serve a God of second chances? Make some noise if you agree. No matter how dark your past is, he will wash your sins away with the blood of Christ and give you a brand new start. Guys, do you know what that's like for people who have screwed up royally? It's like the best news ever. I'll never forget a few years ago, I was preaching about God's grace, how it's greater than your biggest sin. Like you could sin 100 times worse than you are right now and God's grace would still be infinitely greater. And after this service, this young girl in a hoodie, a black hoodie, comes up for prayer. And when she came up in the line that I was in, she had all this kind of like dark makeup on, lots of piercings. And she was kind of looking down, wouldn't look up, very shifty. And then I saw she's actually crying, she's like trembling, kind of looking side to side. And when she gets up to me, she unzips her hoodie and reaches in her coat, and I'm like, whoa, like what's going to happen here? And she pulls out this Ziploc bag filled with pills, filled with pot. And she says, Pastor Tim, this is my God. This is what controls me. I'm not just a drug addict. I deal these. Can Jesus ever forgive me? And I was like, have you ever asked him? She said, no. I said, let's ask him right now. And she bowed her head. And she prayed one of the most beautiful prayers I've ever heard. She's like, God, I'm just so sorry. I'm a mess. I don't want to do this anymore. And she's got like snot running down her face. It was beautiful. And I just looked in her eyes. I put my hand on her head, said, in the name of Jesus Christ, and because of his blood, God forgives you. You're a new creation. And she dropped that bag of pills right on the altar, and she gave her life to Christ. Isn't that awesome? It was such a cool moment. Now, the funny part is I was actually a rookie pastor at the time. I didn't know, you know, at the end of the service, I'm like, what are we going to do with this, you know, Ziploc bag of pills? You know, we got kids running around this place. And so I actually took it. I was like, well, you know, I put it in my backpack with all my preaching notes and my laptop. And I completely forgot about it for 4 days. And so I'm driving around with this, you know, backpack full of methamphetamines. You know, can you imagine if I got pulled over? You'd be like, yeah, I read about that one, you know. Explain it to the cops. Are these your pills? No, I'm a pastor. It's for communion? Like, well, I don't even know what you say. Like, that's repentance. It's this change of heart that leads to a changed life, and it's beautiful. It's at the heart of being a follower of the way. I mean, think of who John baptized. The Bible says John baptized tax collectors. people who cheated others out of money. He said, repent, turn to God. He's going to wash you clean of your greedy ways. Worship God, not money. John baptized prostitutes. He said, anyone here with sexual issues, you're sexually broken. I want you to repent. Repent of your promiscuity, your pornography, no matter how dark it is. I'm going to wash you clean and give you a brand new way. We all need a fresh start, amen? So here's my question. If baptism for people who have messed up royally, why did Jesus get baptized? Did you ever wonder that? Like, well, he was sinless, right? Yeah. Matthew says, Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan River to be baptized by John. And I want you to imagine this scene because there's a lot going on there. And John's baptizing all these world-class sinners in the Jordan. And his cousin Jesus walks up and he's like, what up, cuz? And I don't know, they bro hug or whatever. And he's like, bro, why are you here? And Jesus takes off his Jordans. And he, you know, Jesus wore Jordans, right? And he wades into the water and he's like, I'm here to be baptized. And John's like, whoa, no, 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 no. Verse 14 says, but John tried to talk him out of it. He's like, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. You're sinless. I've got the sin. Why are you coming to me? He's like, Jesus, I can't even carry your Jordans. But Jesus said, it should be done. For we must carry out all that God, what? Requires. So his cousin John agreed to baptize Jesus. And it doesn't make theological sense. Like, why does the Son of God, who is without sin, need to be baptized or washed clean of sin? And the answer is because he's identifying with you and with you, Robert, and with you, Keon, and with you, Denise, and with me, Tim. Jesus does not go into the water for his benefit, but for yours. He's wading in. He's saying, I'm going to identify with all of sinful humanity to come. He goes into that water with you and for you on behalf of tax collectors and prostitutes and porn addicts and pill pushers and preachers like me. Think about the humility that took. On the cross, Jesus identifies with you, but in baptism, you now identify with him. And let me tell you, when Jesus got baptized, it was powerful. Matthew describes it this way. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up what? Out of the water. That's how we know he was in the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. And guys, this is the first place in the New Testament that we get the full face of the Christian God, what Christians came to call the Holy Trinity, God in three persons. You can see it in the stained glass. You see the Son being baptized, heaven opens, the Father speaks, and the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove. And that's why we baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's this beautiful picture of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity working together to bring salvation to our world. I always wondered, it's fun when I went into the Jordan, you know, I kind of look up to the sky, I was like, well, will I hear anything, you know, and I just heard traffic going by. But what would that have been like to hear God the Father speak his pleasure over you? Can you imagine hearing God's voice? This is my son, Mike, who I love. That's my daughter, Judy. With her, I'm just well pleased. Way to go, girl. That's what God the Father is saying about Jesus here. He's like, this is my boy. I'm so proud of you, son. I love you so much, Jesus. I want you to think about this. Jesus hasn't done one miracle yet. He hasn't raised the dead. He hasn't healed the sick. He hasn't fed the hungry. And the Father speaks words of affirmation over him. I love you, my son. You don't have to do one thing. I'm delighted in you. Parents, lean in. One of the most powerful things you can do for your children is to speak life and words of blessing over them. Before they accomplish anything, before they take their SAT, before they score one soccer goal or go to Allstate, you got to speak words of unconditional love and affirmation. And let them know your love isn't contingent on their performance or effort. You just love them as much of a daddy or as a mommy can. Let me tell you, people who get baptized, they tell me how powerfully they sense the presence of the Holy Spirit when they go into that water. Did you notice in every baptism picture you see, people are just like, woo, smiling, arms, they're beaming. They're practically glowing when they come up out of the water. You know why? Because you're in the dead center of God's will when you step into the water. You are doing what Jesus did, and you're obeying what he said, his final command. So if you've never been baptized, I just want you to know your father's waiting to speak over you and say, this is my son, Keith. This is my daughter, Lisa, who I love. I want to fill you with the power of my Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, baptism is powerful. It's life-changing. Just ask Helena. Helena is a young woman, Anna, she's a mom, and she took the plunge last fall. I want you to listen to her story.
When I was 14, I moved from Brazil to the United States. In Brazil, I was going to church all the time. I had my friends. I had my schedule going to church every week. When I moved here, it was different because I moved with my father, who I only talked to or seen year by year. To me, it was like, okay, well, where do I go? And there's no church around me. I didn't speak English to go to any church, so I just stayed back. And that's when I lost any contact with God, when I was 14. Losing that love with God and that relationship with God made me turn to the world. I just felt lonely, and that's when I tried to end my life. I remember in the hospital, a nurse started talking to me. Oh, you're such a beautiful young lady. Why do you do this? And she prayed for me. But I just turned away because I'm like, why is she talking to me? Like I was so dark that her prayer bothered me. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for God. And I can say his team, because I had people in my life that never gave up on me. And that's because of him. A couple months later, I found out I was pregnant. And that's when I found out that I was already 4 months pregnant. That day that I gave birth was the day that my life changed. Because I now have to think of him and me. Just in my head, I'm like, I have to clean my car. I never clean my car. That's when I cleaning, vacuuming, and I clean my dashboard. And then the songs start playing, I Surrender. From there, I started praying. I'm like, God, I surrender all to you. My life, my son, everything to you. And that's when I went to Mountainside for the first time. From opening the door, from the cafe, with the worship and everything, I felt home. I'm like, okay, now it's time to get baptized. Baptism was, wow. He opened my eyes. I think the clear water just took my blinds off. Baptism is, I think I call it the glue. You know, the baptism, it's the glue that you have with Jesus, that your commitment to him forever in your life.
We're here for Helena and everyone getting baptized this spring. Hey, if you've never been baptized by immersion in water, this is your next step, to follow Jesus. In 3 weeks, guys, you can follow the way of Christ right here at Liquid on Baptism Sunday, April 7th. At every campus, we are rolling in hot tubs. They're kind of modern-day mikvahs. We fill them with water. You bring a bathing suit, and we provide everything else. We're going to give you a T-shirt, a towel, flip-flops, hair gel, hair dryer. And you can just sign up online. Again, you can just scan the QR code or just go on our mobile app. You can sign up right there on our website. And then just invite everybody you know. It's a public celebration. Invite your family, your friends, because you're going public with your commitment to Christ. And let me just answer a common question I get a lot as a pastor, because I know some of you were sprinkled as a baby, okay? Maybe you're baptized as an infant. Maybe a priest kind of, you know, sprinkled your head or poured a little bit of water when you were a child. And you may be thinking like, well, does being baptized as a baby count? Isn't that kind of the same thing? And I want to be very respectful here, because different traditions, whether you're Catholic or Presbyterian or Lutheran, they'll practice infant baptism. But I want to be super clear with you. Infant baptism does not appear anywhere in the Bible, okay? It's a church tradition. It's not a biblical practice. Now understand, it's a beautiful thing your parents did. In fact, it was their hope that one day you would follow and know God. But this wasn't your personal decision, was it? Like, let me ask, if you were baptized as an infant, what do you remember about that day? Probably nothing, right? Maybe you saw a photo of it or your family told you about it, but you didn't have a say in the matter. You're just an infant, a baby. Someone else decided for you. Now understand, there's no judgment if you grew up with that tradition. It doesn't make you a second-class Christian or something. But at Liquid, we practice what's called believer's baptism or biblical baptism, like Jesus demonstrates here in the Bible, where you decide for yourself, I am making the decision to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and I'm going to let people voluntarily know about it. Believer's baptism just means that you understand the gospel. You've made this personal decision to trust Jesus as your Savior, and you're choosing to be baptized. It's your choice. A baby can't do that. Parents sometimes ask me, well, how old do my kids have to be to be, you know, baptized as a believer, believer's baptism? Normally we tell people the age of accountability is around 7 years old, because I have found that that's about the age when a child can explain in simple terms who Jesus is, what he did on the cross, and why they want to be baptized. Let me tell you, we've interviewed kids where we said, why do you want to get baptized? And they're like, a hot tub looks fun. I want a cannonball, Pastor Tim. I was like, probably not ready. They got to be at an age where they can understand not just the Father's love, but Jesus' sacrifice, and actually repent of their sins. Again, a baby, a toddler can't do that. But when you're old enough to believe, it is time to make your faith fully your own and do what Christ command. Notice he doesn't say to be sprinkled. Okay, that's a different word. That's raptizo. Baptizo means you immersed in water like Jesus. And listen, let me just tell you something. If your parents had you sprinkled as a baby, that's a beautiful thing. You know why they did that? Because they love you. It's a sign of their care and hope that one day you'll walk with God when you're older. So understand, being baptized as an adult doesn't diminish or cancel out like what your parents did. I hear that from people. I want to get baptized as an adult, but I think my parents will experience it as rejection, like I'm turning my back, you know, on my heritage. So let me just kind of gently coach you, okay? As your pastor who loves you, with respect and honor, you just tell your parents with genuine love, Mom, Dad, thank you for having me be baptized as a baby. I know your heart was that I would follow God one day, and now that I'm an adult, your dream for my life, it's come true. I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I've given my life fully to him. Like, what parent can't celebrate that? Again, believer's baptism doesn't cancel or diminish what your parents did when you were a kid. It fulfills their dream for your life as an adult. So trust God, explain it with love, and then invite them to come celebrate with you on Baptism Sunday. Remember, Jesus started his ministry by being baptized, and he concludes it with his last words. I'm commanding you, not suggesting, I'm commanding you to do the same. Follow in my steps. This is the way. So don't delay. Do it today. Easter, I think it's the perfect season to go public with your faith or even recommit your life to Christ if you've never been baptized. I want you to think about all we have learned, what it represents. Baptism, it's an act of obedience. You're obeying Jesus. You're doing what he said and modeling what he did. God honors that. He puts his hand of blessing on that. Heaven opens. The Father speaks. The Spirit descends. It's an act of repentance. You are turning from your old life of sin. Old Tim is dead, and declaring Christ as your Savior and Lord. It's a change of heart, and you're washed clean, given a fresh start. And it's also an act of commitment. You're actually telling others about your faith in Christ. In a lot of ways, baptism's like a wedding ring. You guys see this ring? I'm not giving you the finger. Just look. You guys see a little ring here, wedding ring? Colleen gave this to me when we got married 25 years ago. I've never taken it off. It's a symbol of her love for me and my love for her. This shows that I belong to Colleen. Watch. This shows you belong to Christ. It's this outward symbol of this inner reality. I am very proud to wear this ring because I'm like, I'm with her, she's with me. We're not casually dating, we're committed, and I'm proud of our relationship. That's what baptism is. You're saying, you know what? I'm with Jesus, he's with me, and I ain't ashamed about it. I'm proud to know Christ. I want others to know it. And finally, it's a sign of spiritual renewal. It's this change that God is doing on your inside. You know what the Bible promises? Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a what? A new person. The old life is gone. It's dead and buried with Christ, and a brand new resurrection life has begun. In Christ, you're a new creation. Amen? You're washed clean, newness of life. So if God's speaking to your heart, can I just say this? Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Sign up today. Meet me and our leaders in the holy hot tub on Sunday, April 7th. I'm going to hop in the water. Our campus pastors are. We're going to take pictures. We're going to give you a baptism certificate and celebrate this mile marker in your journey with Jesus. We're going to do it together. Sound good? Let me pray for us. Father God, I pray right now for every man, woman, and child who, Father, I know your word is speaking. Your Holy Spirit is stirring. And so I pray, Father God, that any sense of conviction, any sense of it's my time, they would know it is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, you will meet them in that water. They will not be alone. When they step into that water, they'll be in the dead center of your will. And I pray that they would feel the love of the Father and the witness of the Holy Spirit like never before. May they never be the same. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your example. We thank you for your life. We are people of the resurrection, and we thank you for the way of baptism. In your name I pray, everyone said together, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.